Interpretation, reflection, misdirection. That's my job. It really is my job. I write words for fish. I'm Tom Marshall, and this is Under the Scales. So I'd like to welcome Ryan Stanley to Under the Scales. Ryan's a friend of mine for a long time. And we met, Ryan was just telling me, we met somehow on MySpace. Is that right?
That's right. That's how old school we are, Tom.
I know. That's a while ago. I remember in another podcast I mentioned that a story I had written, and that's that one about the songwriting weekend.
Yeah.
That was on MySpace. And then when MySpace sort of fizzled or vanished, and that story disappeared with it, and that's kind of when I lost track of it.
Finally found it.
Yeah, exactly.
The girl is back now, though.
Yeah, exactly. So all these MySpace connections are coming back, and you're one of those.
Good to be here. Finally escaped.
So that was back in the amphibian days.
Yep.
And so when you and I met, it was actually in my friend Anthony Kryzan's studio.
Yeah, we first met in person at Anthony was playing in a record release show. And that was the first place we actually met in person. And then shortly after, I think within a week or so, you guys were doing some recording. And then I had already previously met Anthony and the engineer, Chris Petro.
That's right.
I was able to kind of sneak in there and say hello.
Oh, okay. That's right. What was that record release party?
I couldn't remember for me. It was Carmen somebody, I think.
And what was the name of his band?
Wiser Time.
Okay.
Yeah, Wiser Time. And this was probably spring of 2006.
Okay.
I think it's when we first started.
Good memory. So that was kind of right at the point where Anthony and I were writing a lot and compiling it into the next Amphibian album that was going to come out called Skip the Goodbyes.
Yep. In fact, that hadn't even been named yet. And the song Skip the Goodbyes at the time, I think, was called Circle, because that's kind of the refrain in the middle.
Oh, yes.
And then we ended up changing.
Yeah. And that changed... because I was emphasizing skipping the goodbyes because it was kind of like a little bit of a message. It was about Trey. It was just about how, you know, I hadn't seen him in a while.
Right.
And I sent it to him. I emailed it to him. And I didn't include much of an explanation. And he immediately...
You sent it as a song.
I sent the whole song to him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And without really saying much about what it was or anything, I just said, hey, check out the new Amphibian song that I'm working on. And he said, that's about me, isn't it?
I'm just saying.
Right. And I said, yes. And he and I both kind of, I don't know whose idea it was. I'd like to think it was his. And it probably was, asked me if he could record a solo onto it.
Yeah.
So at the time, he was recording something as well. And I just shipped it off to his engineer.
Yeah, I think he was in the city doing Bar 17.
Oh, very good memory.
Yep.
Yeah. And so I was able to just through the engineers back then, sending stuff in email wasn't really feasible because these files are huge.
Yeah.
I forget if someone actually ran a CD
in
or
Tommy
something.
I think Tommy Camuso was in the city. And so he took the main tracks from Anthony's studio, took it into the city and walked it down there.
Yeah. And then Trey recorded this great solo and here it is.
Goodbyes, I'm down. And if you skip the goodbyes, I'm down. Everything comes around. Skip the goodbyes, I'm down. Skip the goodbyes, I'm down.
Anyway, that's a great song.
Yeah. The whole album, actually, I listened to it on my way here just to kind of get a refresher because I hadn't listened to it. I sat down and really just done an album listen, which I really actually, unfortunately, don't do too much anymore anyway to any albums that, you know, because of digital media, you just hear songs random, you know, the way I like it. But so I sat down and did like a deep dive, as you might say, into the album. And it's really, I was surprised how much, I forgot how awesome it is.
Oh, well, thank you. It's really one of my, every time it comes on, It's a different sort of feel and vibe depending on what song you land on.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
It's like it goes from, you know, Beatlesy, poppy, Stonesy, but then there's, you know, songs like Teresa that are kind of dreamy but poignant. It's like a love song but without romance.
Yes.
There's like some power rock, Graffiti.
Yeah.
It's bouncy and
so we should tell people that we formalized our relationship and you actually became the manager for Amphibian.
Yeah, yeah.
And we were planning to embark on, you know, playing live, a lot of live shows. And you came and helped us with that. You were the roadie, recording assistant, everything for us. And it was great while it lasted. I kind of burned out after maybe five or six of that version of the band playing.
There's a lot of other stuff going on as well, I think.
Yeah.
And a lot of backgrounds, a lot of people's lives. And so just the timing, getting the product done, getting the album done was really, I think, the key achievement of that whole 4.0.
Yeah, yeah. And as it always is the case for me, I like writing and recording better than performing.
Right.
And these guys were pro, you know, super pro musicians, and they just wanted to be on the road.
Yeah.
And I wasn't that guy. And, you know, with a family in the current situation that it was in, which is just, you know, demanding of time. Everything was good, but needed a lot of time.
Right.
I just had to kind of call it.
It's time to dial it back and figure out what's next.
Yeah, man. But thanks. If I didn't say thanks for tons of help, we couldn't have done it without you.
Yeah.
So thanks, Ryan.
And literally my pleasure.
Yeah, man. Awesome. So then, you know, we kind of, after that sort of dialed down a little bit, I believe we were blessed with the return of Fish.
Yeah, exactly. So Amphibian 4.0, so to speak, that was like, you know, like I said, we met in 2006. I think we released Skip the Goodbyes to Relics in 2007. And I know that whole summer it was on Sirius XM. And then 2008 is when you said we kind of started, you know, it dwindled down a little bit. And then all of a sudden, you know, towards the end of 2008, they announced the 2009 shows, you know, the Spring 3.0, Fish is back.
That's right. That's right. And we should rewind a moment. You just mentioned Relics. We had both become friends with Steve Bernstein, who owned Relics at the time, Relics Magazine.
Before it went over to Pete Shapiro.
And then Jonathan Schwartz, who then went to Sirius Satellite Radio and does Gone Fishing stuff on Jam On there. Great DJ.
Yeah. Actually, went to Bonnaroo with him one year in a camper. It was like me and like three or four of his buddies. We took the ride down.
I imagine
in fact, it
might have
been 2009, the first year that Fish came back, and they were there.
A more musically knowledgeable person is hard to find. He's incredible. That guy's amazing. Both him and Steve. So the two of them kind of chaired Relics at the time, and were starting a little music label. And I was honored that Amphibian was asked to be on it.
Yep.
So that was actually released under the Relics label.
Exactly. Yeah.
So Skip the Goodbyes came out under Relics Records.
Yep. Was, like I said, 2007.
That was 2007.
I think it was actually launched.
Okay, right, right. And you also mentioned the song Teresa. That bears, that to me was kind of the pinnacle. That was peak Amphibian in the studio.
Right.
That was honestly one of my favorite moments. A friend, Ethan, came by. My friend Tebow was there. There were several friends of Anthony's there. The studio was filled with just, you know, it was a great party. And
Tom Wilson? Wasn't Tom there, like, playing on the, I think, as you guys were writing?
Is it
Tim Wilson?
Yeah, Tim Wilson.
Played
The high mandolin or whatever. A real nice electric mandolin.
I think what stands out to me about that night is it wasn't just that, I mean, all the things that you mentioned, but it was, we came in with just a couple ideas. You just come in with a couple ideas on paper that you wanted to write the song about your friend, and that was it. And that was, you know, from the beginning to the end of the night, and it was a long night.
Yeah.
The song was written and recorded. And, you know, later some different things got added in, you know, by Anthony and on the production side and you as well. But the fact that you started off with nothing.
Yes.
And, you know, we had a couple of beers and we were kind of hanging out and more people came in and the evening just grew. And then we would take stuff and look at stuff and then just see the song complete. And at the end of the night, we all ended up in the room and you were gracious enough to let us do background vocals.
So. We all sang at the end, at the culmination. It's a great ending. And let's play that song too.
Awesome. Yeah, four or five buddies just kind of hanging out at the end of the night with headphones on in front of a microphone doing this refrain about tables and Tucson, Arizona.
All that I own, it's all that I know. Two tables to Tucson. Here I Oh,
There's probably some hugging going on.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of I love you, man. Lots and lots of I love you, man.
All right. So then you and I were like we were alluding to, we were in Hampton together.
Yeah.
And then we'll kind of back. as Amphibian sort of, took a little bit of a hiatus. The hiatus is still.
Right, still on.
Still in progress.
For lack of a better
term. then sort of our focus turned to fish. And yeah. I saw you at many, many fish shows.
Yeah.
I believe you and I briefly ran into each other, right? Even at Hampton, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Well, in fact, I went down to Hampton. I think I had tickets for one show. I had one night there. Obviously, there was three. I think it was the first night. And then I was just like, I'm just going to figure out the ways to get the rest. And I know night number two, I just had like got down to showtime basically, and I already just accepted that I wasn't going in. And I was hanging back at this. I like took a long walk. There's a long driveway that goes in and out of Hampton. And I remember walking all the way back, finding a hotel of a friend of a friend of yours. You said, I know these guys aren't going in. You can go hang out with them, and we'll catch up after the show. And like by the time I literally got there, settled in, I get this text from you, and it's like, I have a ticket. And like meanwhile, this is like 8:06 or something like that. You know what yeah. I mean? I know that you want to be inside. I want to be inside. And I remember just running and just like people look at me like I'm crazy, running as fast as I could all the way down.
A sweat-covered Ryan showed up at the last second the right Boulevard. As you were going in. It's fantastic.
Take the tickets, hugs, and I was in, yeah. Good
stuff. That's great. And so you began, or maybe you already had with the Grateful Dead, I'm not sure, but you rapidly began sort of focusing on set lists. Is that right?
I think who's a fan of this genre really does focus on some level on set lists.
Except me, but yes.
Yeah. All right, so everybody except for Tom and this guy, Steve, that I know out in Pittsburgh, but that's you and Steve, everybody focus on it. So I'd always, I think it's a part of the story of the evening. And I think when people look at ticket stubs, it's easy to hear them say, oh, I remember this, remember that show. And so I really more of it is that I've always been a little bit of a what I call an ADD entrepreneur. So, I do a lot of different things. I'm constantly kind of coming up with new business ideas. And I enjoy, building them. That's my art is creative business.
Is this – would you consider the business that we're sort of alluding to now, would you consider your most successful ADD entrepreneurial idea?
I think it depends on how you describe success. So it's probably my longest running. I have a coaching business, and that's been pretty consistent since 2009.
Oh, okay,
as well.
Right, of course.
But
this
far,
is a, like music influence
exactly.
business. And let's tell people what it is. What's your business?
Setlist Tees.
Yes.
So it's a unique piece of art featuring the date from your favorite show on the front, and sometimes just the date from your favorite show on the front, and then on the back it has the setlist from that show.
And the band is not mentioned anywhere on the...
No
on
band the, name, no album name.
So literally, I'll see... I'll
no logos.
See, I'll see shirts, and the front of them is a date.
Right.
And sometimes art... So you have different artists submit art to you?
Yeah, I've got three or four that I work with. All just people I found on Craigslist.
Okay.
But if anybody hears this and is interesting in working with me, I love it. I love the idea of having diversity, and I don't want it to all just look the same.
Right.
There's uniqueness and branding in the... That it's all one color.
Yes.
The font that I choose to label the venue on the back is always the same, and then the itself will vary.
So the date and sometimes art is on the front.
Yep.
And the back of the shirt has the set list and the venue and the date.
It doesn't have the date. The date is only on the front, and
okay.
then the venue, the city, state, and then the set list is on the back.
And they're pretty popular because I see them everywhere.
It is a lot of fun. I actually, one of the highlights of my summer, it was fish tour, but so I went to the Man in Philly, saw you there, and I ran into like 9 people wearing shirts. And like when you create something and you put it in the mail, you did all this stuff, and then all of a sudden you run into people wearing it, nothing, 9 different occasions,
Nothing better.
Yeah.
And do they recognize you? Because you do a nice video on your...
I do videos. Some people know me from there. Some people don't. A lot of people from Twitter. A lot of people, other, forms of social media.
So setlisttees.com. And what's your Twitter?
Setlisttees.
@setlisttees.
Yeah, anywhere social media is pretty much wasn't taken anywhere. So we're good to go.
And you do a nice description of each new shirt that you release.
Yep. Try to do it. I'm about halfway through. We've got almost 100 shirts now.
Oh, wow.
So.
And how do you choose them? Awesome shows?
A little bit of both. Yeah, okay. Awesome shows and also requests. So there's an area on the website where you can actually go and request what shows you want to see.
Okay. And this is just Fish, although I notice you strayed into the Dead a bit.
Yeah, we've got we've got the Dead. We've got Fish. A majority of is Dead and Fish, but we also have Umphreys. We've got String Cheese.
So if you don't identify the band, are people just left to guess, I guess?
Well, yeah. It's kind of like it's for you if you can identify the band. If it's not, then you don't want it anyway.
That's true. You're right. You know? And the song, of course, the song choices are a dead giveaway.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And that's what it is. So if you're standing in line behind somebody at a show or anywhere else and they're, you know, and you're reading the back of their shirt and you're like, oh, what? And when you in like Fish community, when I've seen it, people are like, hey, is that July 27th, 1997? It's like, yes, it is. And you say, oh, I love that, you know. In fact, I will say one of the coolest thing that ever happened to me in the Setlist Tees world was actually also at the Man. I went in and I sat down and I was wearing, I think, Red Rocks 93. It's a July 93 show. And it's got a lizard. It's a show when Trey went into the Harpoon and he started talking about, not a lizard, iguana. He started talking about this big iguana up on the side and that it is frozen in time and all this stuff.
Right.
Finally, he got it. He got in his mind that he was going to change himself into a giant iguana. So that was it. He changed himself into this giant iguana. Now, meanwhile, here he's coming down the mountains, this giant iguana. And meanwhile, in one of the little caves down there lived this little boy, a little cave-dwelling boy, and he had a little pet, too, that he loved. And his pet was a tiny little furry kitty cat. And he loved the cat so much, he would carry it around by the scruff.
And so on the front of the shirt, it has an iguana, and it has the date. And I sat down next to this guy, and he's like, hey, man, nice to meet you. I'm like, yeah. He's like, so tell me, why is that show important to you? And like at that moment, I realized, I'm like, that's what I sell. You know, I sell a conversation between two people who are enthusiastic about something.
Because it brings to mind the entire evening.
Right.
That's really
And all
cool.
of a sudden, it's a whole conversation about why this and why that and why. And people purchase it because it is important to them. Because it is, hey, this is my first show ever. Like I'm wearing right now. I'm wearing my first show ever, July 25th, 93.
Where was that?
Waterloo Village.
Oh, yeah. In New Jersey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or I'll have people say, oh, I met my wife at the show. So they'll buy two, you know, they'll buy a ladies and a men's. So to have like, instead of just a ticket stub, it's like something they can wear and enjoy. You
know? Right. Kind of almost a living ticket stub in a way. Yeah. And did you ever encounter any opposition? I guess there's not really anything anyone could come after you about Fish-wise.
Yeah, I mean, I looked into it when I started, obviously. Again, we're not using, it doesn't say Fish anywhere. We're not using any logos. We're not using any album titles.
You're just kind of reporting public knowledge in a way.
Exactly.
So that's probably fine. And actually, they probably, in a way, appreciate it, right?
You know, I submitted to be a vendor at Magna Ball. So they know, I mean, I didn't get approved, but they just said that they had already filled up on clothing, but they just said, Ryan, we love the idea, you know, so.
Oh.
So they know about it. It's not, you know.
You're on the radar and you didn't get shot down.
Right. And that was my intention. I'm like, you know, I certainly don't want to be hiding from anybody.
Yes.
But we've also got Pearl Jam. We've got, I mean, other bands as well.
Oh, that's
there.
Cool. That's so great. So do you go and set up a tent on Shakedown?
Oh, yeah, yeah. As often as I can.
Oh, good. Well,
like you go to places like The Man and they don't allow you to. So you kind of got to be a little bit more stealthy. Oh. So what I'll do is I'll walk around with a picture of all my shirts and a mailing list. And I say, listen, if you guess tonight's opener, you win a free t-shirt.
Is that one of those situations where if you have your duffel bag full that it could be confiscated because you're not allowed to sell?
Yeah, so I usually just keep close to my car. I'll do like a radius.
I see. Okay.
When I get there, they know. But when they do sell, when you are allowed, which is a majority of places, you know, you just kind of get out and...
Most of those confiscations have to do with copyright violations. So if someone is selling something with the logo of Fish, they'll get their stuff taken.
Yeah.
Yours is different just because the man
is very strict.
Doesn't allow selling. I see. So, but they do have a Shakedown at Man.
That's why I go and you bring stuff just in case.
Yeah.
And some days they're on and some days they're not. So you get a feel for who set up where.
So in a place not like the Man where they, approve of selling.
Right.
What's the situation like when you walk in the morning? Well, when do you get there and what do you do?
Yeah, I'm newer to the scene. I mean, I really, you know, obviously, Setlist Tees has been around for a couple of years, but I mean, there's people that have been doing this not only just since 2009, every single show they can, but also before then and other kinds of stuff like that. So there's a little bit of a tribe when you get there. They're kind of like looking out for each other, rightfully so, but there's, you know, also depending on where you go, sometimes there's aggression. It's like, no, hey, man, that's. at Bobby's spot, man. Don't get in Bobby's spot. He's got this place already. It's like, okay.
And is there like some kind of thinking at all about, we don't want another t-shirt place right next to my t-shirt place?
No, I think because everybody's really trying to get in and get set up as close to a certain, you know, shakedown as possible.
Yes.
So it's like you get in, they're typically going to be there first and all kind of park close to each other and then just all drive in together and just start setting up as soon as possible.
Okay. That's nice. So you have a tent and you have a representation of your shirts.
Yeah, I generally get a table. I have that mailing list as well. I mean, literally. So in fact, a lot of people just come to my tent because if they want to win a free shirt by guessing, they like to try to guess the opener. So anybody out there, if you look for me, even if you don't want to buy a shirt, come guess the opener. But yeah, so we'll have that up. Usually I have like a bowl of candy just to kind of keep people quenched. sometimes some bottled water. But yeah, all my shirts are as many as I can bring.
So if I order a shirt, is that something that you maintain an inventory or do you print on demand?
I maintain an inventory because I don't print myself. So I outsource my printing.
Okay.
I got a guy. And
but in this day and age of, just-in-time delivery and all that stuff, You don't want to maintain too much of an inventory. Have you looked into print on demand or is the quality just not there?
I have. To be honest with you, it's more about just my own – I think there's a control level.
Okay.
I feel like I can control, when I'm not big enough now to where it's so mass that I'm sending out 100 shirts a day.
Oh, right. Okay.
So it's at a point now where I can, when I'm sending out shirts, I include a letter, I include some business cards. I put some stuff out there. I mean, I'm really at a point where I'm connecting with each person who buys
nice.
The shirts.
And okay. So it's still kind of like your hands are on this business
big
time.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah. And print on, your stuff is nicely silk screened.
Right.
And print on demand, I believe, is still some weird photographic transfer technique or something.
I don't know enough about it.
I don't think it's quite there quality wise, but it's getting there.
Yeah.
It's getting there.
And I've certainly had enough conversations with people like this, why don't what could you do differently? So
do you ever think of straying into two colors or does that not?
First, it's funny, when I first started, it was just me, trying to have some fun with something I was passionate about. I did it because it was cheaper. But then I also found that it kind of almost, because it's a set list and because, it's a written list, the picture on the front or the date on the front matching, it's almost like a notepad of some sort. You know what I mean? It's almost like it matches the back in the one color because it's, it's art in itself.
I see what you mean. You like the common theme going from the front to the back.
Yeah, it's kind of like, exactly. So it's like the album cover.
Yes.
On the front, right? So it's the picture.
Yes.
Or a notebook would have.
I see it. I mean, I have now, this is my second set list tee. And I'm not sure if you sent me one. It's yellow. And I couldn't honestly tell you, because I told you I'm not a set list guy.
Right.
I couldn't tell you what the date was. But I think at the time you.
I think I gave you the the New Year's Eve at the Garden with the golf.
Oh my gosh! Yes, you
right?
did. That's right.
It's got
that
the
one
golf
too. That's white and green, I believe.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I do also have a yellow one, and it might be one of your first. I don't know. It was early. I got to find that one again. That one hasn't turned up in the laundry lately.
Okay. Trying to mix it up.
But yeah, definitely have the golf one. That was great. That was a great show.
Yeah.
It's nice.
And that's got on the front. It's got a giant golf ball, and inside the golf ball is like all the people like partying on the stage, and it's being hit by like a dude. With donuts on his pants or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
And then the back has the set list.
The donut golf pants.
Yeah.
I wonder where those are right now. Well, that's great, Ryan. I love talking to people that have businesses that are fish influenced and give back to the community. And speaking of giving back, I noticed that a chunk of all your proceeds go to charity. That's wonderful. And you outline how much you give every year.
Yeah.
That's
so,
really great.
Yeah, a dollar for every shirt either goes to Mockingbird or Rex Foundation.
Fantastic.
All about paying it forward, just because. I mean, that's really what life's about anyway.
Hey, Ryan, so that's really great to hear about set list tees. And we touched upon your involvement with Amphibian. But concurrent with Amphibian or just prior to that, I remember you had a screenplay, right? A fish sort of themed screenplay?
Sort of, yeah. So it's... It's funny. So along the lines of the set list, it doesn't say fish anywhere on the shirt with set list tees, right?
Right.
The movie doesn't mention the band Fish anywhere.
It's a movie script?
It's a screenplay, yep.
Okay. So the idea is to not be a play, to be a movie.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep. Screenplay. It's called Miscellaneous Debris.
That's right.
And it's about these two dudes. I actually first started writing it in 2004. So it's about these two dudes. Their favorite band stops touring. And one of them decides, okay, now it's time for me to get my act together. It's time for me to, you know, grow up a little bit and get some sort of focus, a career. And the other dude, you know, drags him down every step of the way. You know, he has no intention of doing anything like that. He's just more relaxed about the future of life.
Right.
Yeah. No, it's good, man. But it's filled with Fish references.
Yes.
So that was the whole point. But they're all kind of hidden. They're not hidden to anybody that knows about Fish.
Right.
But it's not like if you don't know anything about Fish, you're going to watch this movie and just be, I don't get any of this. It doesn't make any sense to me. It's more like, you know, characters' names might be song names.
Yeah.
Or, you know, they're doing tiny little things. The guy might have a bag and it has like AC/DC on it. That's his AC/DC bag, right? But they don't say anything about that. It's just
there.
Yeah.
And there's lyrical references thrown throughout.
Scattered throughout, yep.
And I believe I was going to be in the movie.
Yeah, there's a whole scene written about you. Yep. You're like
I was a bartender.
Yep, you're a bartender. But yourself, you're yourself as well. Like
that's appropriate because I tend bar whenever I can.
Tequila, right? Big fan?
Oh, in the old days, yes.
Yeah. All right. Oh, I figured that. I had written this, and this was back in 2004, 2005, and that was why I originally started reaching out to you, I think on MySpace, and I was like, hey, you know, here's this project I've been working on, you know, as a writer or something, I'd love to get your opinion on it, and obviously, by the way, I put you in it, so let's, you know, check it out. And then I think that it kind of, from our interaction online, it faded away. And then when we actually met, we started talking about it a little bit more again. But then we really just ended up falling into Amphibian. And that became more of a match for what we were doing and our strengths together.
Yeah. Yeah. So Miscellaneous Debris is still available if someone wants to make a movie.
Absolutely. To be honest with you, I've got a budget in place. I've got people who have offered to be part of the I've got a production team that are willing to do it. It's really about me putting somebody that knows has more of a strength in creating a film from beginning to end. You know, I've got all the pieces. I just don't know necessarily how to put them together.
Well, definitely contact Ryan at Setlist Tees. Is that right?
Easily, definitely. If you've got wherewithal to produce a film and you're a fan of Fish, and you know, obviously.
Well, the amazing thing is, like in this day and age of producing movies, even full pro movies on laptops,
my budget has decreased $300,000.
Your budget has gone way. That's gone way down, and the ease of production has gone way up. So I'm really crossing my fingers that Miscellaneous Debris comes out soon. And is the soundtrack, is it Fish?
It's not Fish.
Oh, okay.
But it is songs like Sabotage and Velvet Underground, Rock and Roll. I mean, there are songs, and there are different unique versions of these things.
Songs that Fish has covered.
Or somehow tied in. I mean, there's some funk in there. There's I think there's some White Stripes, you know, that just happen to fit into the play. And again, all that takes money, and you need to figure all that stuff out, the best way to use these people's music. But it's all stuff, a majority of the songs somehow play into the Fish story.
Is the White Stripes song that really amazing one that you always...
I Can Tell We're Gonna Be Friends.
Yes, turned me on to.
Yep.
That's a phenomenal song.
Yep. I can tell that we are
gonna be friends. That's really cool. Hey, Ryan, I also have to say to you, in creating a podcast, I went online and learned everything I could. And I found this one guy, his name is John Lee Dumas, who had this entire course on coming out with a podcast. And one of his most important concepts was that you develop, first you have to find a niche that you can talk about and expound upon and develop. And so I thought I had that, but then the most important thing is that as you're doing the podcast, you have to represent your audience in your mind, represent it by one person.
Okay.
So that you're in effect talking to one person that represents
your
audience.
Your
yeah. And that person you call your avatar.
Okay.
And I just want to let you know that you're my avatar.
Nice.
I don't know if I told you that before.
I'm talking to myself right now.
Well, yeah, that's the weird thing is like, I don't know who I'm talking to right now.
I'm literally talking to you.
Are you having an out of body experience?
Right.
So, anyway, it was really great to have Ryan here. Yeah. Thank you, Ryan. And check out setlisttees.com and, also find Ryan at, I guess you make most of the East Coast shows, right?
Yeah, I do my best. I mean, also, I've got a 6-year-old and a 3-year-old, And so family, as you mentioned, you know, depending on
where they're selling t-shirts for you too.
So I got them out there shwilling, shwilling swag all day long.
Nice.
So not as many shows as I'd like sometimes, depending on the year and what's going on. But
yeah,
definitely East Coast. I don't travel as much. I think that's a great way to say
great.
It.
Great. What are a couple shows that are in the presses, so to speak?
I've got a queue of about 300 or 400 shirts right now.
What?
That we're working through from people requesting.
Oh my God, that's
so
huge.
So my intention this year is to really start diversifying.
Right.
So while I would say, 60 to 70% of my requests are fish, I've now been kind of moving the ones that aren't fish up to the top of the list. And so now I'll do a fish, then I'll do another one, then I'll do fish, then I'll do another one, basically in consecutive order of when they were requested.
Right.
Unless I get like 10 orders. Like if somebody and all their friends come in and say, hey, we want this shirt, and all right. of a sudden I realize it's coming, then I'll bump that up to the top.
I imagine like the Halloween fish Halloween shows and special right. shows are big.
All of a sudden.
Would you consider doing the David Bowie Ziggy
Stardust?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Oh, okay, cool.
Like right after, almost every year did a Dix. So as soon, first year we did like an S, there's a Superman on the front for the S show.
Yes.
For the Fuck Your Face show, it's just like a, a middle finger that looks like a guitar and then with the face kind of coming out the side. For the most shows, we've got an airplane. Because remember they had the airplane that somebody...
Someone flew. Yeah,
it said read the book.
Yes.
So instead we had the airplane flying over and it just says most shows spell something.
Oh, yeah, which was what they spelled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So typically, when a show like that happens, something unique happens, we get like an influx of requests and those kind of tend to get bumped up to the top.
That's really great.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome stuff.
That's fantastic.
Tom, you are really one of my favorite people on the planet, and I want to thank you for making the time to have me here today.
Oh, absolutely, Avatar Ryan. Likewise, and so great to see you again. And definitely see you at New Year's, if not before. And really an honor to have Ryan Stanley here at Under the Scales, and we'll see you soon.
Thanks for listening to Under the Scales, the podcast about fish fans, their culture, and secrets, if we're lucky. Quick thank you to my producer, Mark Dowd, and my sister podcast, HF Pod. Some of the music you hear in my show is, of course, fish, but also it's often my old band, Amphibian, with an F. Using songs Anthony Cries on and I wrote for our album, Skip the Goodbyes. Find him at njrecordingstudio.com.
I'll interview you if you want as well. Go to underthescales.com and click the Tell Your Story button. If you're at all serious, your submission will definitely get to me. For other matters, write to me at tom@underthescales.com and follow our Twitter here at underthescales. See you next week.